What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron, go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, get every episode for free, right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. I don't know all, obviously, the details of this this murder that occurred at the Jack in the Box in Charlotte. 17-year-old shot and killed inside after he had gotten off of work. He had just finished his shift, and he's hanging out inside waiting on a ride. And two men wearing masks, I don't know what kind of masks, but two guys burst in, argue with the teenager, and then one of them pulls a gun out and murders the kid. His name was Fate Brannon. On Saturday, police arrested 28-year-old Marcus Dahn, D-A-H-N, on an outstanding warrant. So he was already in trouble. They already had a warrant out for him. They pick him up, they interview him, and then he gets charged with that murder of the 17-year-old Jack in the Box employee, along with robbery with a dangerous weapon and several other charges. His record as an adult goes back 10 years, 11 years, and includes convictions on breaking and entering, credit card theft and fraud, as well as common law robbery. He's being held at the jail. Sorry, he has been invited to be a resident at the jail. No bond, which is the right call here. That's the right decision. It's a murder rap. This is, I gotta believe there's something else to this story, you know? I read so many of these, or I have read so many of these horrible types of stories, but, you know, when it comes to crime like this, that's a random crime to happen. And what were they doing in the store? What was the store closed? It seems like the store was closed. How did they get in? Did they know this guy? Was this a neighborhood beef? Because there's a difference of 11 years between the accused and the deceased, right? The victim is just 17 years old, and the suspect is 28. So that tells me that, chances are, they weren't hanging out in the same group of friends, right? That's an 11-year difference, and at the age of 17, I don't really think you're hanging with 28-year-olds, but maybe, I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just speculating here, but I gotta believe there's some element to this story that would make it make a little bit more sense. But I don't know what it is, but it's just an awful thing. I feel so bad for the family of the victim here, just, teenager working and gets off work. Some guys. So the other thing too is the masks. What kinds of masks were these guys wearing? Like robber masks, or do they have the pantyhose thing, or it's Halloween mask, or is it the N95s, that totally block COVID, right? While also concealing one's identity, or, I don't know, but I think that that's a piece of information that I think is pretty valuable in trying to understand, were these guys going in there to rob the place? Were they going after him specifically? Was this targeted? And how did they know to go after this guy, Marcus Dahn, on an outstanding warrant? And why wasn't he picked up before? I got a lot of questions about this. And then there was this road rage incident. It started up in Greensboro, and detectives say that the incident stemmed from an argument that initially took place at a car meeting, like a car show kind of thing. I don't know what kind of car show. I'm assuming just, you know, everybody shows up with their cherry cars. I saw one today on the road, actually, out on Wilkinson Boulevard. It was like, it had like the old wooden wheels. It was like a 1930s era car. Gray. Oh, yeah, it was sweet. And then he hit the horn at one of the stoplights for us and went, "Ooga," you know, like one of those. One of those sounds. I can't mimic it. It's an old-timey horn, though, okay? Anyway, so detectives say that there was some car show up in the Greensboro, Winston-Salem area. So there was an argument there. And then apparently they took it to the streets. Well, one street, basically, I-85. And so they began chasing each other. There was like four cars involved in this. An argument, this is according to the Charlotte Observer story, an argument at a gathering of car aficionados escalated to gunfire when several attendees began chasing each other on I-85 north of Charlotte. Two vehicles crashed during the chase. Well, they're not going to be going to any car shows with that. And the drivers survived, according to the Rowan County Sheriff's Office. Witnesses began calling 911 shortly after 4 a.m. on Sunday, on the Transvisibility Day. And they reported a shooting between several motorists. So they're just like driving down I-85 shooting at each other in four different cars. These are maniacs. What the hell, guys? I'm assuming it's guys. Yes, it does sound like a guy thing to do. But good Lord. So there was that. And then what was the other one? We heard that somebody shot up some girls at a bus stop. Like, it's, and here's the, and I'm, there's got to be more information that comes out about that too. Cause like I got like the random acts of violence that occur, like you are more likely, I always try to point this out whenever we talk about crime, that you are more likely to be murdered by somebody you know. That is the vast majority of it. The vast majority of homicides are known, you know, victim and suspect. They know each other. They're related to each other, or they live together or something. And then when you break down the racial data, it's mostly white on white, black on black, Hispanic on Hispanic. It's the majority of those crimes are inside your own racial group. But yeah, I don't get it. Taco Bell in Oakland, California, they were forced to suspend indoor dining indefinitely because they were subjected to a series of robberies amid an unrelenting crime surge in the city. Businesses had been restricted, or their business rather at this Taco Bell had been restricted to drive-through service only. There's a woman quoted in the Daily Mail article, Melissa Gilgan. She says, quote, "This is annoying." Yes. She said we had wanted to go inside so we could eat together. But no, they just had to take their crunch wraps on the go. Now they're forced to go through the drive-thru because the next Taco Bell is like 7 miles away, she said. Sources say that the four restaurants, all operated by a franchisor named Diversified Restaurant Group, made the decision to lock their doors to customers amid a spike in violent crimes in the city. The move was described as a safety and business decision. In Oakland, things going well there for the Oaklanders. And then this one out of the Charlotte Observer. Huge retail chains like Walmart, Target, CVS, and others have faced a high amount of retail theft, or what they call inventory shrink. They got a new term for it. Inventory shrink. I just got a tweet from Mary who says that the Jack in the Box shooting occurred at 2:30 in the afternoon on Friday. So that means the store was open. Broad daylight. Like I said, there's something about this story. Yeah, I don't know.
There's more to it. I mean, obviously, there's very little information that we've gotten so far. So, yes, obviously, there's a bunch more information that we haven't gotten. But I feel like there's like something really important missing from the story so far that once we hear it, it'll be like, oh, okay. I mean, not that it's okay, obviously, but that there's got to be some sense to be made of this story, you know?
Alrighty, so Charlotte Observer had this the other day. Inventory shrink is apparently the way they are referring to retail theft, right? Businesses losing so much money, which, by the way, that raises the price on all of these items in the stores for you and me and, you know, people who aren't stealing. We all now have to pay the price, literally. We have to pay more. It's not just the inconvenience of locking stuff behind counters and that sort of thing or behind plexiglass. You know, it's the cost that the businesses are having to make up when they lose money due to all of the stealing. And then, of course, when the stores close, then the area is no longer served with those products, right? So now if it's a grocery store, like now you're going to complain about food deserts, right? So you've got stores like Walmart, Target, and CVS. They've been implementing what they call measures to eliminate costly losses. And they use this term inventory shrink, which is stupid. Okay, that's just, it's theft. That's what's happening. It's not inventory shrink. Right? It's not, it's loss. Retail stores have implemented new self-checkout rules to discourage inventory shrink, to discourage stealing. Okay? But again, stores are inconsistent with their rules. Walmart stores have a 20 items or less rule, which is grammatically incorrect, by the way. It's 10 items or fewer, right? So Walmart got to have 20 items, no more than 20 items, which is another way to say it. You don't have to be grammatically incorrect, Walmart. You can just say no more than 20 or 20 item limit. That's even fewer letters. See that? See how that works? All right. Anyway, so they are, they put this 20 item cap in order to steer shoppers with more items to the checkout clerks that might help reduce the occurrence of theft. But neither customers nor workers seem to be observing the 20-item rule. No, of course not. Right, of course not. Look, I mean, there are a number of reasons why people avoid the clerks. Right? I will do so if there is a line, and there's no line at the self-checkout, but I will never do so with a large shopping cart filled with stuff because I'm not an animal. And there are apparently a lot of people. These are the same people, I suspect, that leave their carts, you know, not returned to the corral out in the parking lot, right? These kinds of monsters exist among us, and they shop with us. And they will fill up their big old buggy, and they will wheel that sucker over to the self-checkout. And you know, like, first off, there's not even enough room. You know, you with your big old buggy there's not even enough room for other people now to use the machine next to you because your cart is so big, right? But also then it takes forever, right? And because you know what happens here, right? They start scanning the stuff and then they run out of room on the bag inside. And then what? They try to start moving the bags around. And then what happens? Bloop, bloop, bloop. Right now you got to have the attendant come over. They got to make sure you're not stealing stuff. And then they kind of do their little badge wave and whatever. They clear it out. And then it happens again. Like this. These people, like, I'm not for the death penalty, but I'm open to the argument here for this class of offender. Okay. The next step for retailers in addressing inventory shrink at self-checkout would be to eliminate self-check altogether. Like, okay,
Who is this reporter?
Kirk O'Neill. Kirk, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? Why are you putting this out into the universe? We do not want to lose the self-checkouts, because as much as I hate the people that bring the big buggies up and check out, I like the option, because I will use the self-checkout when I have like one or two items, again, because I'm not a monster, right? And it's a much faster process. I don't understand the people that stand in the line and wait on the self-checkout when there's like 7, 8 people waiting. I just use one of the checkouts with the clerk, you know? Use the attendant. You really must be bad at small talk, or you just don't want to talk to a stranger or something. Here's the thing, too. Like, I know the cashiers now at my Harris Teeter, and it is mine. That's why I get so angry when people clog up my self-checkout lanes. All right, it is tourney time, and it's also a good time to check out DraftKings Sportsbook, which is now live in North Carolina. You can legally bet on all of your favorite sports anytime, anywhere in the state with DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR. You watching the basketball tournament games? Make bets as you watch and get fast and easy payouts. DraftKings has tons of the best features like parlays for multiple games, player props, which focus on an individual player and their performance within a specific game. Also, social betting groups where you can share your bets with your friends in real time. I have a special promo for you as well. You download the DraftKings Sportsbook app on your phone or tablet and use the code PETE, P-E-T-E. You bet $5 and you get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code PETE. The crown is yours, king or queen. But this is a limited time offer, so take advantage. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms are at draftkings.com/sportsbook/NC. Also, NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and is used under license. I got a tweet. It's a Pete tweet. From Get Off My Lawn, he says, just wait until you have a cashier that licks their thumb to open the plastic bag and then picks up your food with the same hand. I had that happen a couple times to me. I just walked out of the store without my food. The last time, I will never again use the cashier. Never? Never, ever use the cashier again? Well, I found a very handy way to avoid that very scenario. And I found this out actually right now. It just came to me. That would never happen to me because I'm always bagging myself. Or there's somebody who is a bagger that is dedicated. So they're not... Now, I don't know what I would do if I saw the bag and, you know, the bag boy do that. Like, if he were to lick his hands. But I've never seen that. I've never seen them do that. That's kind of gross. That is really gross. Jeff says, Pete, I like using self-checkout. I always see people sharing memes on Facebook about they refuse to use them because they are, quote, not an employee. I always reference this back to pumping gas. We used to have gas attendants that pumped gas, but not anymore. Unless you're in New Jersey, New Jersey has a state law that requires somebody to pump your gas. So if you are stopping through New Jersey, first off, my condolences. Secondly, that's why you never stop for gas in Jersey. Never. We did once. My wife and I did once. We had to stop in Jersey, and it freaked her out because the guy comes walking over to the car because like she just got out and she just starts going to the pump and it's like, oh wait, no, you can't do that. That is not allowed. Is what he's screaming. Not allowed. So in Jersey, it's a jobs program, and everybody pays for it. You got to pay a little bit more for your gas in Jersey to keep people pumping it. Joseph says shrink is a term that was used back in the 90s when I worked in retail. It includes theft, but also damaged items, return scams, even shipping damage losses. While the store I worked at had a less than 1% shrink rate, the stores in cities these days are seeing 10 to 20% rates, which is why they are putting everything behind glass or just closing altogether. So let me go back to this, because they're citing these self-checkouts as a way that you get this inventory shrink, you know, either people stealing it or mistakenly not scanning an item or whatever. Okay. Five Below. That's a store. From what I understand, it's very cold, but whatever. Value retailer Five Below has implemented associate-assisted checkouts in all of its stores for 2024. The CEO, Joel Anderson, said during an earnings call last month, quote, in addition, in our high-shrink stores, so stupid, our high-shrink stores, the primary option for checkout is more of the traditional over-the-counter associate checkout. We expect to have 75% of our transactions chain-wide assisted by an associate, with a goal of 100% in our highest shrink, highest risk stores, 100% to be assisted by an associate. Additionally, in those stores, they're implementing further mitigation efforts, including receipt checking, additional store payroll, and guards. Which, like, what's the point of guards? Why? Are they going to be empowered to stop anybody? Right? Then there's this. The retail giant that runs the Fulton Transit Center in Lower Manhattan wants out of its deal with the MTA, Metropolitan Transit Authority. So they want out of their contract, and they blame crime for scaring tenants away from the shopping space. Westfield Fulton Center, this is in New York, obviously Lower Manhattan, claims that the subway hub has been overrun by homeless people, street hustlers, and vandalism. Street hustler? Isn't that something that you want? Like, oh, he's got hustle, right? Anyway. They say there's not enough security, and one of the shop managers told the New York Post that they get their tip jars stolen multiple times. Assaults and employee intimidation have become more and more common at the glass and steel building on the corner of Fulton Street and Broadway, which the MTA initially pitched as comparable in stature to Rockefeller Center or Grand Central Station. Few businesses want to open and operate a store where their employees and customers regularly would experience theft, property damage, bodily harm, or threats thereof, the company said in a March response to an MTA lawsuit, because the MTA is suing the company to make them stay. You have to stay as the managers of the property. As the safety and security of Fulton Transit Center continued to degrade, it became nearly impossible to attract high-quality sub-tenants, they said. Existing ones declined to renew their leases, and some surrendered their leases early, and the remaining existing sub-tenants have begged Westfield for help. Many of the sub-tenants confirmed that Fulton Transit Center's security issues were the sole reason they left the space. The MTA says that they're going to face irreparable injury. I mean, not like an injury like the workers would face when they're assaulted at the center, but a different kind of injury if Westfield abandons the building, which opened in 2014. The 20-year lease was signed in May of 2014, so they're only halfway through it, and it requires Westfield to manage and operate the Fulton Center, and it's not allowed to back out over crime concerns, according to the MTA, which, I mean, you got to admire the game there. Like, seriously. Like, 10 years ago, they were like, we're just going to write this into the contract that if this place turns into a crime-ridden hellhole, you still can't get out. And Westfield's like, oh, that'll never happen. Sure. The agency asked the court to force Westfield to stay, and if it leaves anyway, they want them to be declared to be in breach of the contract. Only one security officer is on duty. The tip jar's stolen. They have a Haagen-Dazs store that had to close. It's been robbed every several weeks, so they shut down. There's been an increase in felony assaults and burglaries. Meanwhile, the MTA workers, they're asking for more protection. The union is asking for more protection. They say there needs to be more officers at all of the 450 terminals.
Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I gotta ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out?
So several dozen transit workers up in New York marched on the governor's office in Midtown denouncing the escalating assaults targeting them and their colleagues in the New York subway system. Remember, they also had to install the bag checks. They put TSA, you know, down in the subways now, basically, in New York. But the governor's got a new subway safety plan, right? It's part of the plan. At least 8 MTA workers have been brutalized on the job this year alone. Transit workers demanded improved safety measures against subway criminals. Their demands include deploying MTA police alongside the NYPD and National Guard. Governor Hochul announced additional security measures, including more random bag screenings aimed at protecting both workers and riders. Hochul proposed legislative action to ban individuals convicted of transit assaults. The NYPD found 38 people were responsible for more than 1,100 attacks last year. 38 people, 1,100 attacks. See, we do know how to fight crime. It is known. This is not some, you know, wisdom that's been lost to the ages here. All right? In my lifetime, New York City figured it out. And then apparently, no, people didn't forget. People made decisions to go in a different direction, right? People did, and apparently this is like they have to keep relearning these lessons over and over again. So Transit Chief Michael Kemper called on state lawmakers to strengthen bail laws, demanding accountability for criminals targeting New Yorkers. Quote, where are the voices screaming accountability on the people committing crimes on New Yorkers? Oh, please, sir. You're a resident. You're a citizen. They don't care. Like, that's... Sorry, there's a new pecking order here. Find it adorable that the transit workers were the last ones to be notified of this. The governor admitted that they did get some of that old legislation wrong. She said it never should have gone as far as it did. We're trying to pull it back and support our police to do their jobs, but also protect people's civil liberties. Right. So, well, at least it's nice to get an admission from some lefty somewhere that they went too far, you know? It was only after they started getting attacked, right? People have been shoved in front of subway cars on the regular up there and getting beaten up and peed on and stuff and whatever. But now, when the MTA workers start getting assaulted, now something's got to change. Something's got to get done, right? Another crime story. This is probably the most, this is awful. Be on the lookout for fake eclipse glasses. Okay? The Chinese are flooding the market, and the fakes are undetectable, basically. They look exactly like the real thing, mainly because the real things are also made in China, and so they're really cheap and crappy too. And so making the knockoff of the Chinese product, and that's kind of what China does very well. You know, they can replicate stuff. Like coming up with stuff, entrepreneurship, that kind of thing, like having the ideas, not so much. Not so much. But ripping off the ideas and replicating products and technology, very, very good. They're very good at that. So when they got the contracts to produce all of these flimsy little eclipse glasses, now they've got the knockoffs that look exactly like the ones made down the road in the other Chinese factory. So be careful out there when you're looking to buy your sunglasses, because you could be looking at the sun without proper equipment.
All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.